Welcome back. What have we done with we are sitting down with Representative Congressman Mark Pocan from the Madison area. And I'm so glad, again, that you're here, because I know this is there's a lot going on. And it's interesting, only, you know, not even a year into this administration, and to be able to just pick some, you know, horrible, horrible things out of a long list of horrible things that they've done. I guess, in general, how would you describe the current health of American democracy?
Man, at risk, at risk. I won't say life support yet, but at risk. You know, watching Donald Trump try to use, you know, the tragic death of Charlie Kirk as an argument to take away free speech rights. Yeah. Watching what they're doing, you know, watching all the tech bros and everyone else come to the White House and tell the dear leader how amazing he is, you know, is kind of scary. Watching him have a Congress that allows him to do anything he wants to, including things that aren't constitutionally powers that the executive branch has. I mean, those are all things that put, you know, democracy at risk. I do think, though, on the positive side, and this is really important, and I need to get updated numbers on this, but, you know, this is an early August number, but there were 260 lawsuits filed against the Trump administration for illegal actions. We had positive adjudications in 187 of them already. Wow. And what I when I talked to Josh Call, our attorney general, yep. He works with other Democratic attorney generals around the country. They'll tell you that when they win, the Trump administration stops doing what it does. There's only been a few cases that have made it all the way to the Supreme Court. But by and large, you know, they'll do something illegal. He'll huff, he'll puff. He'll do things for the base to think that he's, you know, the Wizard of Oz, right? But he doesn't actually continue doing it, because he knows it's illegal and he can't do it. That's why we think the actions they're going to try to do with the shutdown, predominantly the primarily the stealing of money and firing federal employees, yeah. We think all those are illegal, so there'll be lawsuits based on all of that, and it'll create chaos because that's what he's best at. But you know, that the founding their founders did a good job by making the legal system strong enough to live up to someone that could try to break the democratic system.
So the checks and balances are holding for now.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. How long can they, like, it's what's interesting, and it's not interesting. It freaking sucks, dude. Like,
yeah, I hear you.
Oh my God. You know, last time he had, you know, I still disagree with some of the people like Rex Tillerson and all that stuff, but he had people who I do think at the very core wanted to, you know, their reasoning for doing what they did was pure because they loved the country and they wanted to serve. Now, you know, you have freaking RFK Jr. He's a moron. You have Pete Hegseth, you know, and all these people who are trying, Kristi Noem, doing these things for themselves and not the country.
Yeah.
And so there's no checks and balances in his administration whatsoever. There is no adult in the room. It's just them.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I generally, my first rule of thumb is, how does Donald Trump or his family benefit from it? That's generally the first thing. The second is, yeah. You know, where is this in Project 2025? Because that's their roadmap that, to be fair, we all kind of knew about, even though he denied knowing much about it. Right. You know, the amount that's been done that's directly out of there is enormous, right? And you know, it's often the co-presidency, really, of Stephen Miller and Russ Vogt. Stephen Miller handles all the culture war stuff. Russ Vogt handles all the fiscal, you know, Project 2025 stuff. And you know, they're the ones kind of largely calling the shots. So, you know, I think a lot of people who voted for him have you know, buyer's remorse. I know for a fact I've had you know, some people, including some manufacturers who I know voted for him, you know, over tariffs, calling up and saying how much it's hurting them. And I usually start out with a, boy, elections have consequences, don't they? And just watch them look down, you know. Yeah. And this wasn't what they thought they were signing up for. They thought they were signing up for a tax cut for rich people. They didn't know they were signing up for all the rest of this.
Well, you know, it's, we have the guy here, Tony Weed, he talks about how he's there for American farmers, all while on the other hand, you know, when he turns around, he's voting for these tariffs and just gleefully, you know, giving them whatever the hell he wants. That's he's putting farmers out of business. He's bankrupting them. Some are losing their freaking lives over. This is horrible. And much of what they do is performative. You look at like Pete Hegseth, for a guy who hates pronouns, he wants to pronoun the Department of Defense. You know, Please, it's the Department of War. Like what the stuff that they do is just so bad.
If there was a secret ballot by members of Congress on tariffs, it would be 85-15, right? Wow. 85% would vote against it because they know it's bad for the economy. And in fact, maybe 90%. The problem is, one, there are no profiles in courage being awarded right now because no one will stand up to Donald Trump. And that's the real problem. So if no one does, then he's going to keep doing this. And it's the chaotic nature, you know, of the tariffs. It's not just, I actually am someone who has been a proponent of a targeted use of tariffs. If cheap steel is being dumped by China in the United States, we should tariff it to protect our steel industry as well as our auto industry and everything else, right? But when you just throw tariffs out all over to every country without rhyme or reason, without a real strategy on the percents, and then claim you're winning, you know, no, because then we pay more for groceries, we pay more for durable goods, and we pay more for so many things out of that. So, you know, again, privately, many Republicans will tell you they don't agree with them, but there's no way they'll stand up. And they just took a vote, every Republican from Wisconsin, voted to say that we'll do nothing until March at the earliest about tariffs. And because a few, and by few, I mean less than a handful of Republicans complained, they then did it. They said not till January.
That's crazy. So, we got Representative Mark Pocan. We're going to talk about the assault on our very basic freedoms here coming up. This is important. Don't miss this. Make